I am so excited about today's topic. All right, guys, welcome back to the Reflection Room. I love, love, love this lady. We have had many conversations and have known each other for quite a few years now. And I asked her if she would feel comfortable in joining our next episode and sharing a little bit about her background, her history, definitely her knowledge in this specific area. And hopefully this is going to be extremely beneficial to you all. So let me introduce Jessica Tucker. Jessica, how are you?
Hey, Natalie, thank you so much for bringing me on. It's so cool. I love doing these kind of things. Of course, I'm comfortable. I have no problem talking in front of people.
Yeah, especially because I know your history too, what you used to do. Do you want to share a little bit about what you used to do?
The first era of my career, I was actually a radio DJ. So I spent the first probably 10 years of my adult life talking on the radio, and I would get up in front of 20,000 plus people and interview bands and stuff. Yeah, I'm not shy, even a little bit.
Oh, she'll definitely do this. Yes. Well, I'm so happy that you said yes. Well, if you want to share with our audience a little bit about what you do now, so we know what you did before, but if you just want to fill us in on what you do now and a bit about your educational background as well.
Yeah, of course. So I started in radio, as I told you already, but then when I was in my late 20s, I had the health crisis. And I always jokingly say my body betrayed me. And I pretty much lost everything and had to start over from scratch. And after some pretty dramatic medical stuff, I ended up not really in a place where I could continue to do what I had been doing. And my previous passions were taken away and I was given a new passion. And if you want more about my specific story for anybody who's interested, I'm happy to share in more depth at that time. But basically, after coming back from some pretty dramatic health issue, traumatic brain injury, all sorts of other things, I developed a passion and love for science, which completely threw me because before all that, I had never been a science person. Mm-hmm. I was the person who refused to take the biology labs in college because I didn't want to dissect anything. But then as I recovered, all of a sudden, I'm like, this is so interesting. And mm-hmm. I developed a love for it. I'd always been an athlete when I was growing up and bodybuilder in my early 20s. And so the next natural path, I went down the road of becoming a personal trainer, which then led me into the nutrition field because at that time in the state of Florida where I'm living, personal trainers weren't allowed to write diet plans for people because we didn't have the training. So over time, and a lot of people asking me for nutrition help that I wasn't really allowed to do with my licensure at the time, I ended up going back to school and getting a master's degree, which is pretty miraculous following a traumatic brain injury. And I became a dietitian and certified nutritionist. So now I spend most of my days helping people figure out how to optimize their health through nutrition and develop figuring out the root causes of what their issues are through nutrition. And it's my passion. It's everything I am excited about in life. I spend an inordinate amount of time reading about it and learning about it. And I'm a giant nerd. So that's where I am now.
Yeah, I feel that way about mental health. That typically when people ask me like, oh, what are you watching or what are you reading or what are you listening to? I'm almost embarrassed sometimes to say what it is, mental health, emotional health, self-care, something along those lines. So I can absolutely understand that piece. And it's interesting too, just now when you were talking and explaining your journey, I wanted to make sure that we captured this and I highlighted it, but there were two things it seems like that kind of catapulted you and landed you where you are today. And it's one, your own personal struggles. And so, you know, navigating that and trying to figure out how to come out on the other side. So that's really important. I think that sometimes people just might overlook or might think are like obstacles or hindrances as opposed to a place that could really catapult them to the next level. And I didn't realize this part, the fact that as a personal trainer, you couldn't provide a diet plan or nutrition plan or you know something along those lines. And so that limitation there is what led you to take those next steps. So yeah.
It was definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is this all happened back in the early, I think like, when did I graduate? 2011, I graduated from personal training school. And at that time, that was the law. as a personal trainer, you weren't allowed to consult on nutrition. So at that time, when somebody would ask me, I would say, this is what I do, but it might not be the same for you. I had to be very careful about how I said it. I think it was 2020, actually, they deregulated it so that now any personal trainer can basically give nutrition advice, general nutrition advice. They're not allowed to give medical nutrition therapy, which I am allowed to do now because I went back to school and got my master's degree and my certifications. Mm-hmm. However, I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of the gym bros who are, you know, like giving out nutrition advice because they haven't spent the years studying the human body and the way it all works together. And they don't have the ability to tease out the specific things that might help somebody who needs that. And a lot of times people don't even realize what the difference between general nutrition advice and medical nutrition therapy, where that line comes in. Mm-hmm. So it makes me uncomfortable that any guy got this weekend certification as a personal trainer can be giving nutrition advice when I spent like a lot of years studying so that I can do it. So yeah. I definitely recommend be very careful from whom you take your nutrition advice.
Yeah, I feel the same way sometimes about those out there who post mental health advice or just information about mental health in general on like social media platforms. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I cringe. I'm like, that's not accurate. But
right. Oh, yeah.
Or anybody, I guess, can post. Yeah, I always love asking for people to share their stories initially because very similar to myself, typically there's a reason why somebody has really landed where they've landed. And that was part of my story too, in my journey and even bringing you on. I know I've shared this before, but I went through a struggle. It was like 2019, 2020, yeah, when COVID started and around that time. And I just was at a loss, had no idea what was going on internally with my body. I just didn't feel myself. I didn't know what it was, how to answer questions. I just knew to say, I don't feel like myself. And I started working with a nutritionist and it honestly was, it transformed my life completely. And things that I either overlooked or I didn't give much meaning to, like sleep patterns and just nighttime habits and routines. And again, some of the stuff that I was like digesting, I didn't realize that would have that much of an effect on my overall well-being. And it just really did. It was like a 180 in my life. And so I knew at that point, I felt like there was this section that we were just really overlooking. And obviously it was out of our scope. And so that's when I was like, we need to bring someone on that specializes in this area. And so yeah, that's when you entered in. I did want to start out, I think, with what I consider to be a complicated question, but it might seem very simple to you. It's
okay.
People ask and they'll say, for us to define mental health, emotional health, and just discuss a little bit about the differences between the two and the similarities and overlap. So I just wanted to start and ask you, if you could define nutritional health or nutritional well-being, I guess those kinds of phrases that might be a bit broad, but what does that even look like? What exactly are we referring to here?
I'm glad you said it's very broad and difficult to define. And that's a very true statement because unfortunately there isn't a specific like form answer for every person. Everybody has to figure out a little bit about what works best for them and what they are going through and what their issues are. So many pieces come into play. Do you have a chronic health condition? Do you have any specific goals? Like for instance, if you are trying to build muscle, if you're trying to lose fat, but basically everything that is going on in your body is going to be affected by how you eat. Ooh. And I tell everybody there's very few definitive answers that are the same for every person. The one thing I tell everybody is the closer we eat to the way that the food was originally grown or prepared, the better. I tell everyone, if you want good nutritional health, I tell people skip the bakery because very few people need anything in the bakery. That's pretty much just sweets and stuff. But start the outside of the grocery store when you're shopping. So I tell my people start in the produce section because I'm thinking of how my Publix is set up because I usually shop at Publix. So start on the outside, start at the produce, go to the meat section, get your eggs and your dairy, your cheese. When I do have to go to the inside, I make very targeted, specific, like I go in to get my olive oil, my spices, things that aren't on the outside, and then leave the rest of the stuff alone. Because really, most of those pre-packaged processed foods, they've been like very closely linked to things like almost every mental health disorder is made worse by a diet high in what we call ultra processed foods. So avoid those, pretty much everybody. Clearly, some people have a little bit more flexibility in what they can manage than others. For myself, because of my chronic health issues that I live with, I shouldn't, I can't say I don't ever because I'm not perfect, but I very rarely venture into those foods because they do not do anything for my overall health and specifically my physical health. They can actually damage that. But I've spent a lot of years figuring out what works for me. And I also, there are some, like for people who have similar health conditions to mine, I have a pretty well-designed program I can hand them, but I always want to help people tweak it to meet their specific needs and that kind of thing. So it's a very individualized exercise is figuring out what nutritional health means for you. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes total sense. And I think it's because I probably could relate. I think about what we do as mental health counselors, and it's a very similar concept where there are, in this case, as you were talking a little bit about like medical conditions or mental health disorders on our end, there are mental health disorders and there's a diagnostic manual that we utilize. But the way to arrive at our end goal or final destination may look very different for everyone depending on their past experiences and their abilities and strength, or even the therapist and our specific style. So that makes a lot of sense. I didn't even think about that, like starting out like on the outside of the supermarket and then maybe making your way in. But that's a great idea. I definitely should utilize that. I go in the aisle until like the end, and you're right, you pick up a lot more that way. In fact, I just finished eating a muffin right before we started.
Again, like I said, I'm not your dietitian. So I tell people, unless you have hired me to be your dietitian or nutritionist, it's really none of my business. You made your choices, you do what you need to do.
Was like, I need this quickly. I definitely can't eat it on our meeting.
Let me pick up my salad.
I have my water here, so that is funny. But I love that idea, and it's a very broad concept. But like the way that we can apply it to our individual lives, depending on our habits, working with a nutritionist, and any other content that we might pick up on, it can be a very individual experience. Yeah, so I was hoping you could help me understand too, or explain the connection. You started a little bit when you mentioned how the way we eat can affect, it can lead to potentially some like mental health disorders. Can you explain the connection there between nutrition and mental health? Like, kind of fill in the gaps a little bit for us, if you don't.
Absolutely. This is probably the best way to put it. And I don't remember the exact percentage, but the majority of the neurotransmitters, which are the chemicals that your body makes to keep our brains balanced and healthy, the serotonin, the norepinephrine, the melatonin, all of those things, I think it's something like 40% or more are made in your gut. And your gut is where your food goes, right? So if your gut is not healthy, then your body isn't going to be able to make all of those neurotransmitters. And most mental, not all, a lot of them have a hardened trauma and all that. I get that. But many mental health disorders have an imbalance in neurotransmitters and brain chemicals. If I'm wrong, please correct me. I just, from what I've read and what I know about and read about, a lot of them have their heart in neurotransmitter imbalance. When you eat things like hyper palatable, meaning they've been chemically designed to trick your body into thinking that it can't stop. And I taught a class recently on how to read food labels, and I put up the food label for a bag of chips. How many chips do you think is in a serving of chips? A single serving of chips. How many
Oh
chips?
my gosh, I'm gonna totally fail this. I
Well,
would probably say 20.
11. And that's in one of the a bag of Lay's, like a normal bag of Lay's potato chips. It has 9 servings of chips in that bag.
Wow.
When was the last time you sat down and ate 11 chips?
Never.
Exactly. And that's because they're what we call a hyper palatable food. They have very highly paid food chemists who design these things to taste so good, and they are addictive. So they literally trick your brain chemicals into thinking you have to have more. And most people, and it's the same thing with a bag of Oreos. How many Oreos do you think is a serving of Oreos?
Oh gosh, I don't even want. I mean,
Yeah.
I was at the fair the other day and
Yeah, I know.
I ate Oreos there, and I was mentioning to my friend that how
Yeah.
I have a sensitivity to Oreos. I just love
Yeah.
them. I don't know what would be
It's
the number.
two Oreos.
Wow.
Yep. So that's again, that is another food that is hyper palatable. One is sweet and one is salty. And then to get into the real, this is going to blow your little mind, and it might actually really interest you. When you eat something that is salty or sweet or fat, all three of those things trigger your ability to make dopamine, which is, you're the counselor, you know what dopamine does. Why don't you tell us what dopamine does?
Yeah, dopamine actually is one of the, when we talk about dopamine or serotonin, it definitely directly impacts our little happy receptors. And so, yeah, it increases our overall mood. Wow.
So all three of those foods trigger dopamine release in your brain. But
Interesting.
what happens with those hyper palatable foods, they add sweet to salty or fat to salty. You start mixing those three things together in a way that doesn't exist in nature. And now that dopamine is, instead of just a little spurt that makes you a little feel good, now you're like, your brain gets flooded in dopamine, which then triggers that addiction.
Yeah.
And that over time, that derails your mental health and a lot of other things. So the all of the way that we eat directly impacts that. And then another thing, and this might, if this is off of the subject, we can clear it out. But I was curious because I looked up the number of people in the US who are on medications for mental health, like depression, anxiety, ADHD, ADD. It's in the hundreds of millions. And all of those medications, yeah, they help with those neurotransmitters, but they also deplete vital nutrients in your body. And a lot of people aren't on just one. It's something like 60% of those hundred and however many hundred million people on those medications, many people are on 5 or 6 of them. And that's a lot of nutrient depletion. So now, not only is your brain chemistry all over the place because of how you're eating, and now we're trying to medicate it, but we're also losing the nutrients that help us keep our mental health stable. So, to me, that's a very good reason to start with the root, which is keep our gut in good health, avoid those hyper processed foods. Get lots and lots of fruits and vegetables and those healthy things that are going to be the components of those neurotransmitters. And there is a time and a place for medication, clearly. I'm not anti-medicine. I just feel like sometimes we rush to put, we don't want to, we start with prescribing medicine rather than let's figure out if there's a better way and let's attack it from the root cause of the problem, which for some people, they're eating a diet very high in hyper palatable, highly processed foods. And that is tricking their brains and their bodies, messing with their neurotransmitters. And that can be the cause of many, not all, but many mental health disorders. That's where I come from when I'm approaching nutrition for somebody with mental health challenges.
There's so much that you said there. I think we're highlighting a piece that doesn't get a lot of attention still. You know, we've come a very long way with breaking the stigma for mental health, attending counseling, seeing a therapist, maybe joining a support group or a AA or NA or something along those lines. And then also with medication as well. I think for a while there, people were a bit hesitant or a bit shy to share that, oh gosh, I do take this pill to take this medication for this specific disorder or diagnosis. But I think you're highlighting a piece that we really don't, I feel like haven't moved as far within our society with highlighting the importance of the nutritional piece there. But I love everything that you shared. And you said something, you used a phrase like starting with. And so I know you and I have talked a little bit about seeing nutrition as a part of one's preventative care. Can you explain a little bit about like why creating that mind shift and seeing it as a necessity, definitely a necessity and a part of our preventative care is so important. If you want to talk about that.
Sure. Preventative care. You go to the doctor once a year to have blood work drawn, or to have, if you're of a certain age, you might have a colonoscopy or a mammogram. These things are preventative medicine. Good nutrition is preventative medicine. This isn't mental health, but when it comes to things like diabetes, if you catch it before it gets to full-blown type 2 diabetes, in like the pre-diabetes point where you're just a little bit insulin resistant, it is so much easier to stop it there and prevent it from becoming a full-on chronic health disorder. So eventually, a lot of people with type 2 diabetes end up with blood sugars that are way too high, and that causes things like kidney disease, liver disease. It can impact your heart. It can impact all sorts of parts of your body. But the fun thing about that is there is a way to stop it before it gets to that point. And if you stop the diabetes before it becomes diabetes, now you never have to go on the medication. And even if you have insurance, copays add up. And people with type 2 diabetes, oftentimes their doctors want to see them every quarter. So every 3 months, they're going to the doctor. And if you have a like my specialist copay, because a doctor who deals with diabetes is considered a specialist, the copay for a specialist is like $50. And then but that's not all you're having to do. Now you're also taking five or six different medications, because a lot of people with type 2 diabetes also develop high blood pressure, they develop high cholesterol, they develop a lot of other things. So there are a lot of times they're on five, six, even seven or more medications, and every one of those medications has a copay. So now you're paying a lot of money for something that you could have fixed with some early on nutrition counseling. And when it comes to mental health, especially for things like ADD, ADHD, anxiety, depression, again, not always, but a lot of times there are things that we can do early on, or when the symptoms first start appearing. With my full-time job, I work with people from all different walks of life. And I had one lady who has, she's feeling very depressed, and her doctor wants to put her on a medication for depression. But when I looked at her blood work, her vitamin D levels were almost non-existent. Vitamin D is one of the most important vitamins in the body for making serotonin and dopamine and those other neurotransmitters and brain chemicals that prevent us from feeling so depressed. So I got her on the sunshine protocol that I call, which is how I teach people to get the right type of sunshine. And we increased her vitamin D supplementation, took out some of the excess sugars and processed foods out of her diet. And she is feeling so much better. And I also taught her some breathing techniques to help with anxiety when she starts to feel anxious. And these things, and it may not work forever, because some people do need, I'm not throwing shade at medication. If I don't have my insulin, I would die. So like, I know that sometimes some people cannot do it without the medication. So I would never look down on somebody for using a medication when they need it. But my take on things is, let's see if we can get you feeling better by improving your nutrition so that maybe you won't have to go there. Or if you do have to go there, maybe you don't need as much of it, or it more is a temporary thing. There's ways that we can manage it with nutrition without having to go to the medications right off the bat.
Yeah, as you were talking, I was reminded of my experience with my nutritionist, and it one of the first things that she did was, yes, request to see. I had gotten my blood work done at my yearly checkup, and so she had asked to see a copy of that, and then also she asked me all of the medications and then also supplements that I was taking. And at the time, so there's this, I shouldn't laugh, but so there's this company, I won't name it, but I thought it was a brilliant idea. So you could actually hand choose, so pick and choose the supplements you want to take that you think you're needing, and then they ship it to you every month, and they package it up in these little daily like packages and stuff. And I thought it, what a great idea. Let me pick and choose supplements that I think I need. And I had been doing that for some time. And so when I showed her all of the ones I was taking, her question was, have you tried receiving the benefits that these supplements offer you, but from the food that you take in? And I hadn't. And so that was her goal, was to get me off of the supplements and to figure out the right food that I could eat to receive those nutrients naturally, not from supplements. And it was a wonderful experience. I had never thought about that, like how I might be deficient in some things. And I think you're right. Our initial response oftentimes is, what vitamin do I need to go out and purchase or supplement? And in reality, that a lot of our foods can offer the benefit.
And it's almost always going to be in a way that your body can absorb more of it when it's natural. I do oftentimes recommend, because some things like vitamin D, some people don't absorb it from the sun as well as others. And for people who are already on some of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, that some of the medications for depression, anxiety, those medicines cause what we call photosensitivity. So it's not safe for them to go spend the targeted time in the sun to get that vitamin D. So a lot of times I will, for those people, recommend a short-term high dose of the vitamin D in the active form so that your body can absorb it. But there's also a trick of some vitamins have to be taken with food, some need to be taken on an empty stomach. You can't have some right next to each other because they'll block each other's absorption. There's a lot of these little things that you're not necessarily going to know unless you've spent years reading and studying and being a giant nerd like I am.
Yeah, but that's why people go to you for that, right? Done all the work ahead of time. But yeah, that makes total sense. And I love how I think you referred to as the Sunshine Protocol. Is that what you
That's what I call it.
recall? And then you mentioned some like breathing techniques. And so I guess I was wondering if anybody who's listening is like me, my first question is always, what can I do now? What can I start out doing, even if it's just like a few small steps that I can take on my own while I get connected with someone like you? What are some things that you would recommend, broadly speaking, again, because I recognize that everybody's struggles are a bit different, but does anything come to mind?
What I already said, shop the outside of your grocery store. I tend to say focus on whole foods, whole protein sources, whole fruits and vegetables. If you're not lactose intolerant and can handle it, dairy, if you can afford eggs, because God knows right now they're expensive, eggs are powerhouses of nutrition. So picking foods that are whole sources that haven't been engineered and produced and put in brightly colored bags and have all the commercials, trying to get foods as close to the way they come out of nature. Clearly, we have to cook our meat. We're not designed to eat raw meat. So cook your meat like you have to, but that's minimally processing your food. And again, I mentioned earlier, I just taught a class on reading labels. If you look at a label and it's not something you have in your kitchen or would have in your kitchen, it's not worth buying because it's chemicals and things like you're not going to have BHT and BPA or whatever for freshness. And you're not going to have those in your kitchen. You probably shouldn't have it in your food. Because in that case, if it's got all the chemicals and preservatives, now it's not really a food. It's what we call a food-like product. And it is going to be damaging to your health.
Oh, that's so good. So if you don't have it in your kitchen, you shouldn't have it in your food. I love that. I love that. Those are really great tips. And then we talked about this earlier, both being nerds in our industry and field, but
Right.
are there any like books that you might recommend or podcasts or maybe even websites that people can go to get additional information?
Yeah, I'm very particular about who I follow on social media because, and I mentioned earlier, a lot of times if you're getting your nutrition information from social media, you have no idea where they got that from and how they came to this idea. And I always encourage people, if you want to know why I recommend something, I can print out a stack of research to back up what I recommend. A couple people that I do follow on social media and listen to on social media quite often, Dr. Ken Berry. He's a really brilliant doctor. He talks a lot about the proper human diet. And I also like Dr. Eric Berg, Berg. He has a really good YouTube channel. If you have insulin resistance or diabetes, I very strongly recommend Dr. Jason Fung.
All of that was very helpful. And as we wrap up, can you think of anything else that we haven't talked about or that I didn't ask about that you think is really important when you think of nutritional health and mental health and the intersection of the two?
Don't underestimate the importance of having a healthy gut.
Mm.
We mentioned that, but we didn't go deep into it, and we're not going to go deep into it today. But it is so important because there's this thing called the gut-brain axis, and that basically shows how closely linked our gut health is with our brain health. So there's a lot, and that's a very deep topic and would require a lot more time than we have to get into the specifics of it. But that is what I specialize in, is helping people eat to make their gut healthy and help balance their brain and manage their chronic health conditions. Definitely, if that's something you're interested in, please reach out. I'd be happy to spend some time talking with you and helping you figure out how to get yourself optimized
I love that optimal nutrition. Yeah, I love that phrase. So I think that's a great place to end. Yeah. Thank you so
nutritionally.
much, Jessica. I really appreciate your time. As always, I love our conversations and I always walk away with a few little nuggets. So yeah, very interesting. And I'll make sure to get the links from you on some of the podcasts and other resources that you recommend. I'll make sure to include that in the caption below, along with our website, because you do work at Tampa Counseling Place. And
I
so
do.
if anyone is interested in working with Jessica, you guys are more than welcome to click the caption below and click on our website. And then also one thing we're going to be doing, I think you and I are going to be coming up with a few recipes that you might recommend that people could utilize on their own in their own kitchen. And so we'll also include that on the resource page on TampaCounselingPlace.com. So thank you so much, Jessica. I really appreciate your
Pleasure. Well, thank you for having me. It was fun.
yes, I loved it. I loved it. We'll have to do it again, maybe a part two sometime very soon.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. And as always, everyone, keep reflecting.